You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Finally, after so long of not reviewing, really, like, too many games, but finally back to reviewing Telltale's The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, Season 3, subtitle, subtitle, colon,
episode apostrophe, 5.
Episode 5, From the Gallows.
Yes.
Finally, the season finale of their latest season of their, of course, epic Walking Dead series. I am Christopher J. Herman.
And I'm your boy, John Romo.
And, of course, we have two special guests. As always, we're joined by Justin Zarian, this renaissance man who works for OneOfUs.net, Double Toasted, featured guest on Unapologetic Geek Out. I will say it correctly one day, but Justin, how are you doing, sir?
I think the term that Nick has affectionately termed me as is podcast whore, based on all that work. I'm doing everything at once nowadays, but otherwise, I'm doing great.
Justin, you know I love you.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, that lovely voice was Nick Tyes. Of course, one of the hosts, the creators of Unapologetic Geek Out, a podcast that is just a smorgasbord covering all sorts of geek-centric topics, whether it be movies or video games or comics or books. It's an end-all, be-all podcast.
Wow.
Nick.
Getting those plugs in early, huh?
I want to make sure, you know, people come on our show that they feel good, comfortable.
That's true.
Nick, how are you doing, sir?
Good. I was gonna, you know, not remember half those plugs, so that's great. Also mention Netflix and Kill. Our first episode of Netflix and Kill, me and Justin are on, is up and ready for anyone's listening pleasure if they want to check that out.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely plug that more towards the end of this episode. But before we get into all the plugs and all that goodness of all of our separate projects and all that, we are talking about the last episode of this mediocre season.
Hey.
And we're just going to go into our, I guess, general impressions of this episode before going over all the decisions. And by the way, for anyone listening, this is going to be a spoilerific review. We're going to get into all the nitty-gritty details, who died, who didn't, who we wish died, all that good stuff. And just kind of go, you know, I guess I'll start. And I'll just say that I felt that technically this was the strongest episode of the season so far. It ran the smoothest. I didn't get many kind of like frame rate issues. There wasn't any weird character models that didn't have any faces or anything like that. Like, I appreciate that. The fact that the game actually ran smoothly. I experienced no crashes, which who knew with a Telltale game at this point that they actually released an episode that didn't have too many bugs. Granted, I did play this game or this particular episode a week after release, so that might have something having to do with it. But in terms of the story, as I've said in previous episodes, I really think that this season overall, not just this episode, but season overall, has suffered due to its writing because it's included so many kind of inconsistent characterizations of people that we come to meet throughout this entire season, particularly in episode 5, where like the focus of this episode is between David and Javi and kind of how the relationship has managed to progress up until this point. And it really just makes me very certain that the writers really had no idea how to write this relationship realistically. I can understand maybe they wanted to showcase a dysfunctional relationship between two brothers. However, based on how other characters have described David and how other characters have described Javi and how we've seen Javi throughout this entire season, there's just too many inconsistencies for me to feel any sort of attachment to both of them. At one moment, we're told that David is a great man. He's a great guy. He always supports his family. And yet what we see consistently is someone who is always on the edge, who is always incredibly aggressive. And when we're told about Javi, how he's just a degenerate, just a waste of space, what we always see with him in this season is that he is always the good guy. He is always standing up for his family. I guess to a certain extent how you play as him, but for the most part, that's how he's portrayed by most of the characters he interacts with. So overall, for me, I just thought that even though I liked technically this episode ran very well, there was just too many points in this episode where the writing just wasn't up to snuff as previous seasons of The Walking Dead. I stand by the fact that I think season 3 is the weakest of the Walking Dead seasons. Nick, I'm changing around. Nick, what was your overall impressions of episode 5?
I do declare I get to go first. Well, I have to strongly disagree with Chris on this. I thought that the writing of this episode really put a final... because I was up in the air on David and Javi's relationship, because I'm like, okay, it's all about how this finishes for me, of whether or not I really dug this or not, because I was digging not liking David, because I thought the way that I played was that David was always this loose cannon that I had to basically take care of. And it's all about your perspective of, like, what is your... Because, you know, in the beginning of the episode, you get that flashback where you make that promise to your dad saying, like, hey, you got to take care of your brother. And, like, what does that mean? How do you fulfill that promise? Like, how do you go by that? If the person you're supposed to be taking care of is making really bad decisions, is it better to try and support them, or is it better to try and correct their path? What is the way you support that person? And I felt that that actually comes to fruition in this episode, and I actually really liked it. But that's really dependent on the way you play and the ending that you get, because there's several different endings, actually. So I think that everyone's experience for this game is really going to be different, because they've have these side characters, basically, with Javi and stuff, they can afford to make more branching trees with relationships and stuff near this ending, because, I mean, I'm going to just theorize right now, we're probably never going to see most of these people again. And I thought, as a conclusion, I thought it pretty much wraps up the big relationship with David and Javi. Everyone else gets kind of up in the air. Like, Eleanor, you can have a final, like, really, you know, last minute, forgiveness relationship with her or not. This thing is that I had so much fun, but it was really dependent on my playthrough, I thought. But maybe it'll be different for you guys, since you guys did play a little bit differently. I don't know. I think it is stronger than season 2. Not as strong as season 1, but I gotta say that I'd be lying if I said I didn't thoroughly enjoy this season.
Justin, what about yourself?
Well, it seems like we're splitting that team UGO versus team One of Us over here on one side, you know, because I'm kind of on Nick's side in this one, too. Like, I think maybe the frustrations going on here is the fact that I read this one review talking about this season as a whole, and that this season, compared to the last season, it's much more focused on character development and scenes than plot. And I kind of agree with that on a whole, the idea that this season's really about making these tight emotional scenes between characters, you know, all these flashbacks that you've got, all these, you know, all the development between your nephew, between this potential girlfriend that you may or may not get kind of thing, and that stuff, and all these different heightened emotions kind of thing, that the actual plot itself of, oh, what's going to happen to Richmond and that kind of stuff is kind of secondary. It doesn't really matter how that part resolves, but like Nick says, it's about how these relationships resolve. And I don't feel like the writing was as inconsistent as you feel, Chris, personally, because it's nuanced. As we've said this constantly every episode, that these relationships are very complex. And not just complex like, oh, there's lots of different things going on, but like, you shouldn't know how to feel about this. You shouldn't know how to feel about David, because he's kind of a loose cannon. He is the Kenny of this season, you know, even more so than Kenny was to some degree. But I feel like I really liked it overall. I don't think this was my favorite episode this season, just because the fact that the plot itself, the actual main thread, seemed kind of underwhelming, and there were a few other predictable character ends, which we'll get into in just a little bit, that kind of made me go, well, yeah, I mean, I could have told you that 3 episodes ago. But otherwise, I dug it. I agree with Nick that I like this way better than season 2, because that one was way too plot-focused to the detriment of its characters. Where here, I actually cared about the supporting cast. I actually cared if certain people died or not, whereas that one, I'm just like, yeah, Clementine's cool, everyone else, you can all jump off a cliff. But yeah, that's my opinion.
Good job, Justin. I'll cut your UGO check later.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
John, I saved you for last for obvious reasons.
Come on, John, join Team UGO. Join Team UGO.
So, it's interesting. I had hinted at the end of last review that this could possibly be my favorite game this year. Mm-hmm. But I actually have to agree with Chris a little.
Oh, my God!
A little. In the sense of not the whole season bungled its writing, but I think while I was playing this game, I think Justin made a really good point that this whole season has really been about moments. And I think that really struck really hard to a detriment in this episode, where there are two, I think, really great moments. A moment even when I felt like I wanted to cry, like it had me. But there are a lot of times when I could feel the seams of the Telltale writers trying to make sure, like, they were moving pieces. I could feel the pieces moving where they were setting up each sort of ending. And that's what it started to feel like. I could feel that this was a game. And it's such a, like, high... it's so weird because it's like, no, I'm criticizing it about what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was missing this feeling of this is mine. I still got what was mine, but the fact that I could see the other things were really kind of just... It was getting in my way. But ultimately, I still did love how mine ended. And, you know, I remember starting off talking about episode 4 and just being like, it was fine. And as we discussed it, I ended up loving that the most. So, like, I still love episode 4. And honestly, I'll say right now, I wish episode 4 had gone in maybe a chapter longer and would have just ended there. Because I think where that was kind of going... If episode 4 didn't have to include walkers for some dumb reason and just would have ended and resolved in some sort of situation there, I think I would have loved where this went. This felt like it was trying to pad out some things and trying to tie up every loose end instead of my loose ends. It felt more cluttered and it felt more distracted to a point where, honestly, there are two storylines for me that didn't end quite how I wanted them to, or it just ignored them completely. I think that's where I stand on this. I mean, my opinion might change. And overall, I think it's funny because how you guys said that we'll never see these characters again, which we won't. But what was funny is as the episode ends, I kind of came to the realization that this whole thing was about Clem in a sense. And I just thought that was interesting. How, Chris, you had complained so much. It's like, I just want to be Clem. Why can't I be Clementine? Where it's every choice you make is about how does it change Clem? And, like, what actions will she take going forward? And, even, you know, just go out right to the very, very end. It's like it tells you Clem is – she's going to show Clem up next. Return. Because Clem is always the center of this whole thing. And I think it's just more like, yeah, we get to play her once. But everything else is like, what is she learning throughout the whole thing? And in my case, in point, is about loyalty. Mm-hmm. And that's my story. And I'm kind of interested to see what all you guys chose and how different they ended up being. But, you know, Chris, go ahead and go.
Yeah, of course. So we're going to go right into the decisions. And when we finally get to the end, I'll say why everyone is wrong. No. Of course, we all have our own opinions and we all have our individual experiences. So I completely get that. And I understand that there are some things that I just have set against this game because of, I don't know, we'll get into a little bit more. But in terms of, like, the decision, so, of course, this episode picks up immediately after the end of episode 4, where Kate has run the truck or whatever into the wall of Richmond, basically breaking down the beers, and all the walkers start pouring in and all that. And of course, it leads up to the point when you finally make it to, like, refuge, and you're in this building, and some crazy stuff starts to happen. Some of that family dynamic, dysfunctional family dynamic comes in where you're threatened by this woman who apparently lost her husband. Funny enough, it was her husband may have been the person you shot in episode 1 who was driving the truck. That was her husband. And I thought that was a really cool moment. I don't think I shot the guy.
I didn't.
No. I don't think I did.
I don't remember.
Maybe if you go back, maybe I absolutely did. I don't remember at all. But then, of course, you also learned that she lost a little girl because of what happened, but based on your decision and Kate's actions and all that. And she threatens to shoot you with a gun. I guess that situation maybe plays out a little differently, but in most cases, I think she calms down to a certain extent or whatever. But then David, then immediately attacks her, breaks her arm. and I'm just like, whoa. And now again, it was just like, that was probably the most shocking moment earlier on in the episode for me. And tries to kill her, and then that leads to just everyone freaking out about David. I guess everyone recognized, like, oh, David's a little on edge. No kidding. I could have told you that by episode 3. And then that kind of leads to the first decision, which is really weird that they've included this, where it's if you stepped up or stood with David on the ledge of the building when he's kind of mildly acting suicidal or whatever, or just kind of having like a come to grace type moment or whatever.
He's having kind of an existential crisis, I think is more sure. the issue. Like he feel like he's being cut off from all the relationships we have. So it's like, does he keep the one relationship with his brother or not? It's kind of the big decision, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that is the kind of how it is. And I chose not to stand up with David because I'm thinking he's going to knock me off this side of this building because he's getting jealous or whatever. And so I chose not to stand up with him. Nick, what did you choose to do?
Okay. Well, full disclosure, I was thinking about this a lot, and I think I made a lot of different decisions than I normally would have in this last episode because I don't think I would have stepped up on the ledge with David if I hadn't promised the dad that I would, you know, take care of him because my dad just passed away like a year ago. Like it was almost a year ago, like a couple weeks ago. So I was thinking about that, like this, your dad's last request. And I'm like, crap, as much as I don't like David, I got to try and do this because that's what dad would want. Like that really stuck with me is that dad line. I really, actually really glad they included that previously. Plus I felt like, David will kill himself. I don't think he'll kill me. Not right now anyway. Not until he's super mad about me and Kate, but we'll get to that later. So yeah, I jumped up with him. I thought like, you know what? He needs someone to know that there's someone with him right now, that he's not alone, that someone is still with him, that someone's not scared of him. Even though I'm a little scared of him.
No, totally. I get that. I understand that. I mean, yeah, bringing up the father part is, yeah, I can kind of see how you would, Javi's interaction with his father, I can see how that would prompt you to do that with David in particular. Justin, what did you choose to do?
Yeah, actually, it was on Nick's side here where I stood with David because, you know, and good. Thank you for mentioning the dad part because I thought that was actually a really strong opening for this whole episode. Like, it gave a lot of good emotional weight to anchor even some of the weaker plot thread elements of the episode, where it's like, okay, yeah, this whole idea of family and the loyalty and loving people even when they frustrate you, and boy does David frustrate me, because that point when he broke that lady's arm, I laughed out loud. I'm just like, what the freaking heck, man? Yeah. Like, even more so than the last episode. But, I mean, I also got like, okay, we've experienced enough of David that we understand he's just broken. He is a broken dude from all of his emotional problems to his PTSD that they've, you know, alluded to back and forth but never fully gone into depth with. And they even mentioned that when David's talking to you, like, oh yeah, well, I'm a soldier. I don't really feel like I'm a good father or a good husband. I'm too out there. Like, even when you stand on the ledge with him, he's pointing out, like, yeah, this place, you could put a trench there. This place, you could make a sniper hill. This kind of stuff. You see where his mind is. And I think that was more revealing of his character than most anything else we've seen up to this point. And I think it made me glad to trust him, just like, okay, well, putting myself in Javi's shoes as a brother, I can kind of sympathize with that. Though, to be fair, Chris, that the thought of him, like, tipping me over and pushing off the ledge did occur to me. I'm just like, okay, I'm just waiting for that shoe to drop. I'm just waiting for it. But thankfully, it never happened.
John, what about yourself?
Yeah, I got to speak on the whole beginning, the real beginning, the whole father, son, and, you know, father and brothers moment, because I think that is my favorite scene in the entire season. Mm-hmm. And it actually leads to the emotional bit later on. Mm-hmm. It felt very real to me. One, the only problem is I don't know how to play dominoes, so I have no idea if I could have won that scene. I was very confused. But it felt very real to me, and I'm sure the circumstances in that situation are, you know, comparable to not just Hispanic people, but, you know, white, black, Asian, whatever.
Yeah, no, I play dominoes all the time with my family, so I knew what's happening.
It's just kind of a situation that I've been in as well, as just like playing a game and just like sitting there and like seeing my uncles just play dominoes and just like kind of sitting down and having this moment where your dad is just being purely stubborn. And, you know, thankfully my dad's not that old to be in that kind of situation, but I could project my grandfather and like, I know he would do the same thing. He's like, why would I take treatment? Like, why would I tell your grandmother? Like, it's not worth that pain, and being stubborn and being the sons and like, no, do it. And getting, I could see David's anger. I understand where it comes from. And just like, I understand, like, both of them even each other out in a sense, at least the way I've played my Javi, and I could project me and my brother in that sense, where my brother's just kind of the stronger force of us two, and I'm the more passive and less energetic, and it works in that moment where the dad, like, is just like, just take care of your brother, like, no matter what, like, take care of each other. That is what you guys are supposed to do, and that's how I've always pictured, like, life going down if something were to ever happen to my parents. Like, my brother is my family forever. And that kind of continues on, like, immediately after when Kate comes up, and, like, my Kate runs up to me first, cause that's who she is. And I get mad at her, cause I'm like, you know what this is going to do. Like, well, why are you trying to stir shit up? I hated it.
I love it.
And when David, when David, like, breaks that woman's arm, I understand where that's coming from, especially because of the prologue scene in which the father is, like, saying how piece of him is in both of us, and, like, the hothead with his heart in the right place, but has no idea how to put it, like, how to handle it. And I can see that David's so scared that something is going to happen to his family that he's willing to hurt anyone else. And
including
that,
his family,
including his family. Yes. I understand that. Like, but he's, it's like this blind sort of protection. And, like, I felt for him, and I, like, so when Gabe gets mad at him, I kind of get in Gabe's face, like, calm down. Your dad's just being cautious. Mm. And so, yeah, I do naturally go stand up with him, but I am still scared of him, like all of you guys, because he is so such a live wire that I don't know what he's going to do. And it was weird because I remember feeling tepid, and I felt bad about feeling cautious towards him, because I was like, my brother's not going to do anything to me. It's a great moment.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's one thing that really struck me, too, during that bit with the ledge, is that his greatest fear, it's that paradoxical thing where he really needs people to love him, and he demands love to some degree, but his biggest fear is pushing those people away. So it's just this whole paradox, that whole thing, just like, I want my family to be with me, but if they don't listen to me, then I have to get aggressive. But if I get aggressive, I'm going to push them away. He's his own worst enemy in that case. So I just thought that was really, really cool.
It reveals a lot of pain in that moment. And I come to the realization that David can't fix it. And he realizes he cannot fix it, and to the point where it's just kind of like, you can see him sort of giving up and just kind of like, I don't know what to do. I wish I could be you, but I can't. And it's a lot. I really liked the moment. I think it's a really strong opening
in regards to, oh, okay,
to standing on the ledge with him, where he does say, like, I wish I could be you. Like, I'm jealous. He admits it.
He says, I wish I had your heart. And I was like, I did tear up a little bit at that. I liked it a lot.
And then he'll call you a lazy son of the bitch.
Well, that's
the next
because
scene.
Because that's just
again,
how
the inconsistency.
Yeah, it is, and you start to see it a little more. Where I think Telltale, and I'll get into this later for sure. But Telltale didn't have a villain, and so they made David one sometimes. Where they didn't know who there should be to cause conflict. So they were like, well, he's the irrational one. We'll just make him do something, and there it pushes it forward.
Exactly. That's my problem.
But see, like,
go ahead, Justin.
I feel like that's just way better than having a straightforward villain. Because if you're thinking of which, did anyone care what happened to Joan? Like, if she died or lived or not? Because the game clearly didn't, since she just kind of, if she does live, she just goes away.
That was the thing that upset me.
Completely forgot
that was
about
the
her.
Thing that upset me. Because yeah. At the end, it's just like, we don't know where Joan is. It's like, fuck all, you don't.
And
like,
the farmer man, too. He disappears for some reason.
He's mine's dead.
Oh, he died?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, he got shot. David, but that's shot the thing. Him. It's like, yeah, I would prefer a complex, you know, antagonist like David over just a forgettable villain like Carver or Joan. It actually made it more interesting for me.
I really like Carver and his whole dynamic, because I'm like, I can get where this guy's coming from. I mean, that maybe we can say that for a later date with our review of season 2 someday. But if we ever do that. Plus, it's voiced by Michael Madsen. Who doesn't love that? So, no, it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, okay, yeah, some good points. I understand. But moving on from that, it takes a while to get to the next kind of big in-game decision where you kind of go. It's a lot of gameplay sequences where you're kind of making your way out of the building, kind of down this highway, leading to like this abandoned like helicopter, which you got to use as like a swing to get over. It's like kind of a cool sequence. And I guess I imagine that part's where either Trip or Ava dies, because in that sequence, Trip died for me.
Yeah, it's a repeat of that decision.
Yeah,
back in episode 4, so where it's just like anything related to Trip and Ava just felt like, well, you don't matter. You're a tertiary character in a story that ultimately is kind of tertiary in itself.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. But then I finally does get to the point when, you know, again, you got to make your way through walkers. You got to put all their guts on you because you got to do that in every Walking Dead thing ever because Robert Kirkman, that's a mandatory thing. You got to do at least once per season or once per issue.
Well, real quick, I did want to speak on something before we get to the cover zone. There's a nice moment between Gabe and Javi here where Gabe really starts to realize how good Javi can be. But also, because of my hobby, the way I'm playing it, it's like, but also don't forget, like, your dad is trying to help you. And it's, I don't know, it's this weird dynamic where now Gabe is this kind of focal point of, like, that's your dad, but I am being the better role model right now, but always love your dad. And it's just, I thought it was the first time Gabe has been rational.
But then that's immediately done away with later on. Very quickly later on in terms of like the next decision that we go to. And then Gabe, like it, I mean, I don't know why Gabe, I mean, yeah, it's his dad. I get that. Okay. But at the same time, it's like every time that that David has been around you, he's always act incredibly aggressive. He's never been, I guess he's never been consistent. He's never been consistent. Like Gabe has this, he puts his father on a pedestal. I get that, like, in real life, people do that with their fathers. I understand that. But at the same time, it's like, in the world that we're living in right now, how he's interacted with everyone else around him, what you've seen him do throughout all these episodes, all these sequences, how he's treated Kate, how he's treated me, how he's talked behind my back about me, too, even though I've taken care of you, you know, for all this time, years. The fact that that he would eventually make the decision that we're going to get into a moment in regards to his dad and what he thinks of his dad. Really, it's nothing is consistent. Everything's just really awkward to me. But that kind of leads into the next decision where, what did you say to David about Kate? Because after this whole kind of back and forth sequence, when Kate wants to go save the people at Richmond using this bulldozer, and David just wants to get the hell out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. Again, inconsistent with his character.
No.
Because
no,
even though he's developed a relationship.
That's not inconsistent.
Even though he's developed a relationship with this whole town.
No, that's not inconsistent.
I don't think so.
that goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's like David's,
it's just about family.
David's ultimate thing is protect them. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck everyone else.
Yeah. Including family. Including family. Including family, which we're gonna get into, because when he just decides to, like, okay, fuck you guys, and just takes Gabe and get everyone, abandons Kate and Javi and Clementine to die, could get eaten by walkers or whatever, not giving a shit. But then that does lead into this net. Before that, in regards to David and Kate, what do you say about David and Kate? There's like a bunch of different choices. Apparently, I mean, what I chose is that I professed my love for Kate, cause I just want to go say, fuck you, David. She likes me and not you.
Hated her so much.
Nick, what did you choose to do?
Okay, well, there's a lot to unpack.
Sure, I mean,
yeah, go ahead, take your time.
But the decision, and then we can move into like all the stuff that happened in between. We can talk about a little bit more.
Okay, I did the decision of, like, because I did also romance Kate during my playthrough, so I was kind of like, I think I said, like, oh, we were together for so long, we were together for years, man, like, what'd you think was gonna happen? Like, I kind of laid it off more like a, come on, man, you got to be a little more realistic about this sort of thing. And I wasn't really thinking that David was super inconsistent about wanting to leave, because I thought, like, oh, yeah, as soon as Kate thinks, oh, we should stay and help, and David's like, oh, wait, that's your idea? Nah, fuck that. It must not be a good one, because you suck at everything. look, I've seen some hate for Kate online, and I think there's... You have to remember, Kate's an abuse victim. She does not... She's harboring all this resentment towards David because of obvious physical abuse.
Psychological abuse, too.
And so, and that's even worse, is that the fact that he immediately treats into, like, okay, everyone, let's just go. And because he sees his son as a responsibility, he sees Kate as a potential for normalcy, he sees these people as things, not as people.
Yep.
And no matter his relationship, like, because even that great conversation you had on the ledge, it doesn't change who he is at his core. He's not there yet. He's ready to change, but he hasn't changed yet. So that's why I'm not really mad about him you know, wanting to fuck off with everybody there, kind of like, no, that makes sense, because he wants to return home. He wants to go back to something that makes sense to him, because this place no longer makes sense to him anymore. So it's like, okay, what makes sense to me? Home. Well, that doesn't make sense, David. There's nothing there. Well, whatever. I'm gonna take Gabe and I'm gonna go. And as far as, you know, and then even then he has a nice moment where he's like, hey, Clem, you helped save my family, so you're good to go, too. You can come with. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. I mean, you're still a psycho, but you at least included her. The one thing I got to give on Kate, though, is that did she have to kiss me as she came over? Couldn't she have just held my hand or a little something less inflammatory?
That was devious.
And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, you're gonna get my face beat in by a wrench. Don't do that. But again, I feel like I gotta give Kate the credit in the world is that she knows what she wants now, and she does not want to be with David, and she's sick of David's crap, and she finally gets to stand up to him, which is something she's never done before. So I thought I was kind of pumping my fist into the air, like, yeah, Kate, you tell him he's being an idiot, because I've been trying and it's not working because he doesn't respect me, but maybe it'll work with you. It ends up not working, but well, I guess we'll get into that. Yeah. What did you say, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I decided to pursue the romance too because I'm just like, well, I don't want to shrug her off because I've developed this, you know, this likable enough chemistry with her, and yeah, there's the history to consider as well and the abuse and all that stuff. I did agree too when she just goes out and like, oh yeah, by the way, I don't love you anymore. Mwah, I'm gonna kiss your brother, kind of thing. I was just like. Yeah, there could have been a more subtle way to approach this conversation, but it also struck me, too, that these people generally aren't all that intelligent. Like, they're not idiots, but they're very street-level kind of people, you know, very street-smart in that sense. They're not always very tactful when it comes to emotions, and I think that's why I don't have as many issues with David either being inconsistent. I mean, there were a couple iffy decisions, but again, it's the idea that we've established that he's a loose cannon. For some reason, the story of, like, you know, the scorpion stinging the frog because it's in his nature kind of thing. Like, that's just, you know, like you said, Nick, that's his nature. He, you know, that's who he is. He can't change that fully, even if he knows that he has to change. And so, yeah, I didn't have much of a problem with that. I don't... Darn it, Nick, why do you go before me? You said everything I wanted to say about that scene, too. So, nothing left.
Sucks, doesn't it?
I know,
not
right?
Fun going last, huh?
John, what about
speaking
yourself?
Of last, yeah, John, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I was the only one who didn't romance Kate ever. So she didn't kiss me. I actually put the blame on her. I was like, we didn't do anything. Well, because, like, the thing is, and this is interesting when Nick reminds me about her, like, she has gone through emotional abuse and I guess assumed physical abuse. Mm-hmm. But again, that shows, like, the loyalty and the weird sort of ness that I have towards the brother, where it's like, I just forget that. Like, I just kind of forget it. And every time she, like, seems to get between us on purpose to antagonize him, I'm like, stop doing that. I think there actually is an option, depending on the relationship you've built, where she just holds your hand. I think that is an option. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she holds your hand after she kisses you. I don't know if any of y'all could tell
me. These are the options that we have. The confessed love for Kate. Again, this goes into the bad writing for this episode. Players come clean about the relationship with Kate. Players denied having a relationship with Kate, but David doesn't believe them.
Mm-hmm.
Or players said nothing. So no matter what, you're going to have some type of confrontation with David.
And that's what bothers me, yes. Is I said no,
mm-hmm.
and he's still furious.
Yep.
And I can understand where he's mad, but why, like, a physical confrontation with me? I guess
quick time events.
I guess he can't do a physical confrontation with her in front of everybody,
yeah.
I guess, but... It just seems
that'd
like
be a little bad.
Again, it's the thing where they just use him to continue things. Because yeah. Like if at any point David did calm down, the story would be done. The yep. game would be over and you win. But he can't because we have to fill out 5 episodes. That's where I'm saying they could have just ended it at episode 4. It would have made sense for me where just David finally calms down. And like where David ultimately ends up sort of makes sense for me. And we'll get into that, but it seems like they were trying to fill so many other things and they needed to fill their obligatory 5 episodes, 5 chapters each, mm-hmm. that moments like this is where I was the most upset at the episode, which is ironic because what follows next is where I almost cried.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess for me, in regards to what you're saying, like, Dave is not so much a character, he's a plot device. He is something too, like everyone's missing, he's too progressive. And that's why I'm just so frustrated by him, because when we're told about his history, which again, I think is a problem, we're not shown how he is supposedly a good person. That's never made clear. And so when we constantly see him, when he constantly has these moments of being like, oh no, I love you, even though I'm going to talk behind your back constantly about how, you know, I despise you and stuff like that. It's just like, it doesn't work for me. It's just like, pick either or. Maybe, I don't know, it just, you can say that in his own mind, he cares for Javi or whatever, but at the same time, he has this bitterness towards him. It's just weird. It just doesn't work for me personally. Maybe, I don't know, people describe that as like him having a lot of depth. To me, again, it just goes back to that inconsistency. But then, of course, right after following that decision in regards to Javi and Kate, you know, there's a fight. There's an option for like a fight between Javi and David, and for myself, I chose to fight David. I'm like, dude, I'm gonna fucking kill you, because there is just nothing redeemable about this point. You are a detriment to the group. You're endangering everyone. You are the threat. You are the villain. I need to stop you. I need to get these people to safety, or help them do what is right, whether it be helping these people in Richmond or just making sure that you're just not present anymore, because you're such a bad influence. And so I chose to fight him. And I'm thinking, if I'm going to kill him, I'm going to kill him. And of course, that goes to a great scene when Clementine does indeed shoot him in the shoulder. I'm like, come on, Clem. You were doing headshots in the end of the episode and all this stuff. And I'm just like, that was kind of weird. And then, of course, it goes really weirdly. Again, inconsistency. David, talk about Gabe, where he chooses to go with his father, run off with him, which I'm thinking, even before that, when you're having that argument before the fight breaks out, where Gabe says, I'm going to go with my dad, even though of everything that I've seen and how he's physically hurt me. You know, and how he's been such a detriment to the group earlier on and everything, even though I had that conversation with Javi a few minutes ago in regards that I respect you, you're my role model, who I look up to. He would still go with his father again. Again, it's just really weird and awkward. It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I chose to fight David because I was hopeful that I could kill him in that scene. Nick, what did you choose to do? And what was your overall opinions of that sequence and how it played out?
Okay, so this is like my second favorite sequence in the game, actually, because the inconsistencies you're caring about, like, I think they have shown that David has good elements in him. He takes Javi to that baseball field, but ends up fucking it up. He has good instincts, but it's like a couple peppered good things over a bad person, mm-hmm. and he comes off as a bad person. And what's great is that I actually come off on Chris's side emotionally with David. You are just a danger to the group, and the fact that you don't realize it and that you're fucking up so hard. But Gabe has a cool moment before where he says, like, you know, you're my role model, Javi. I should have been listening to you, but you know what? Dad's the one that needs our help now. We need to help him. I remember that. I'm like, okay, that's why he goes with David, is that he still sees his dad as someone. It's like, no, I can still save Dad. He just needs my help. He's basically where I was in the beginning of the game, where I'm like, nah, and I'm like, yeah, you're going to find out quick that no matter how much help you give David, he's going to let you down. But Gabe's not there yet. Gabe's just to the point where he's getting a little disillusioned.
Yeah, he's naive.
So he's still got faith. So I'm like, no, that made complete sense that Gabe would pick women. And I like that Kate, and both I and Kate were like, hey, if that's your decision, that's the decision you got to make. Because we treat him like a person rather than David, who treats him like an object or just a responsibility that he needs to fulfill. And then despite my feelings towards David, I couldn't bring myself to hit him. Because I just kept remembering what the promise to the dad in the beginning, and I was just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. If you gotta kill me, if that's what it takes for you to figure out that you're wrong, then do it. Because I'm not stooping to your level. I'm better than you, and I always was. So that's where I came off about it. And I really love the fact that every time you say I love you, he gets more mad. Because he realizes more and more how in the wrong he is, and it's like David's, it's David's like split personality personified of like, I love this guy that I'm beating to death apparently, but And then I like that my Clementine didn't shoot him. He just pointed the gun at his head and like, okay, back off and run off, which was good because I'm like, yeah, you know, killing your boyfriend, your crush's dad in front of him, you know, blowing his face off probably wouldn't lead to a great, you know, start of a relationship. A little rocky. So, yeah, I actually really dug that sequence, at least the way I played. I found it fascinating and really compelling on a character level, which I thought that this episode had in spades, a lot of great character moments. But Justin, what about you?
You know, the more that we talk about David, the more we're just kind of painting him as Two-Face from the Batman game. That's just what it comes to mind when I think about that. It's just like, yeah, maybe he should have a little coin that he flips when he starts talking to Javi. But yeah, I went with Nick as well. I decided not to fight him just because, again, I feel like I'm in an abusive relationship talking about this game because I'm just like, well, you know, David's my brother. And I, like I said, that promise with the dad resonated in my head too. And also just the fact that, yeah, in that same way, I was being like, if I fight him, I will stoop down to his level and people will lose their respect for me. They know that I'm the guy who would not want to hurt somebody who, you know, right or wrong kind of thing. This is family. And it did give me some gratification to see David just, you know, dig himself into a corner bit by bit with every punch. That was just, that was satisfying. That was satisfying to me. But, yeah, otherwise, I mean, I'm talking about a few bits that happened before that sequence that we kind of skimmed over. Was anyone surprised in that bit when Ava or Trip falls off the ledge? Like,
I laughed out loud. Yeah. I laughed out loud. I found it hilarious.
I did too. I was just like, okay, the instant that you see that they're at the end of the line to cross that thing, it's like, well, okay, we know what's going to happen next. That was...
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's so telegraphed. It's so awkward and just it's just funny. And I think that was, again, it deals with that inconsistent writing for this season, where you have a death where you're supposed to care for these characters, you don't really care about any of them.
So. Well, I think it was also the problem that the way it was directed was kind of awkward, because David has this huge, like, Ava, no! Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, all right, whatever. He went down swinging or fighting. It's just like, okay.
Yeah, it made me think of like some like jokey thing. It's like, she died the way she wanted to, screaming like a girl into a vat of lava. And here's something,
you know? Yeah, pretty much. It might as well have just said that, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a little awkward. But yeah, I mean, and I don't know. Again, I'm starting to get so conflicted with the emotions I feel about David in this case, especially because, you know, I don't hate Gabe. That's the thing that I think struck me the most this episode. The more I'm like, you know what? We've hated his character earlier on in these episodes, but they've tried hard for you to try and be on Gabe's side this episode. And the more it progressed, the more I was kind of like, you know, even with this weird decision to join with his dad, I don't hate him for it. I kind of understand that on the level of, you know, like I said, this disillusionment. He hasn't seen his dad for over a year or two. And we're just, you know, he can't just expect to just totally abandon him, even though it's like, yeah, your dad's a little bit unstable. But it's like, yeah, but he's my blood. He is my father. I can't just go, you know, screw you just because of one or two things. I don't know. Okay, John, what did you think about this? You talk about this more.
Yeah, this I have to agree with Nick that this was my second favorite moment, you know, sort of platformed by my first favorite moment at the very beginning of the episode. So I didn't find him back, of course. Mm. But I was tempted to each time, where it was like, you need to get hit at least once, but like, you need to know. And it's just kind of like that brother thing where it's like, you know, maybe you just need to catch an elbow and that'll get you right. But ultimately, yeah, I didn't hit him. And it was, you know, sometimes I did think it was a little cliche, maybe the second time I said it, where I was like, I get it. Like, I get it. Just the delivery more than anything. But that moment at when you say it one last time, when he seemingly is going to kill you or something, and it says up in the top left corner, you kept your dad's promise. I was just like, yeah, I did. And
that was sweet. That was
really, I almost teared up again.
That's where it really got me, where it was like, that was the whole point. That was the whole point of how I've been playing, is like, no matter what, stick by your brother and help him as much as you can. And it was that was peak. That was one of the peaks of this whole season, because they seemingly got it. They understood how I was playing in that moment. And yeah, I can't throw enough praise at that moment. When Gabe, what's going on with Gabe, and you talk about disillusionment, maybe I'm kind of misunderstanding the term, but it's funny. Like, I think we hated him because he was a child. At the beginning, thought his son, he thought his dad was this person, and we start to like him as he is growing up and realizing that, like, my dad is flawed, my dad is broken, and ultimately to make that decision with, but I can help still. Like, it's that wonderful sort of moment in life where you do realize there are flaws in the world, but you haven't given up on them yet. It's that idea. I've heard it. It's weird to bring this up, but Kendrick Lamar's like last To Pimp a Butterfly, the last song, he has this like the sort of moment where he's kind of theoretically talking to Tupac and talking about like, and Tupac says something along the lines of, you know, you have to fight as a black man when you're in your 20s because by 30 you are tired and beaten. And it's this idea that like young, you're still young and you see the hope that is left before the world has beaten it out of you. And that's where Gabe is, where he sees the terror finally. He sees the brokenness, but he's still young enough to think he can fix it. And so like, I thought that was great. And it says something about loyalties, but all of those moments where Javi, what you have is your brother is the top of your loyalty pole. And for David, he takes Gabe and says, fuck all to y'all, because it's like, if you can only save one, it is going to be your son. And for Gabe, his top of loyalty is his father always. And for Clem, her loyalty is Javi, for at least the way she's played and portrayed in mine, because she did shoot him in the arm, because she won't shoot him, or she won't like, she'll get as close as she can because she's been through this before. But her loyalty is to Javi, and she knows she cannot do that to Javi because that's not what Javi's going to want. And even that's how she plays it, like later when you have to make the decision, like, do you go to Richmond with Kate or do you chase after Gabe and David? And my Clem is like, I'll follow you wherever you want to go. And so I guess that kind of transitions into that next decision.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into, did you go after Gabe or did you go after Kate? And because, you know, Kate makes a decision. She wants to go help the people of Richmond because she feels obviously guilty about what happened. And all these people have died because of your actions in episode 4. And then the other one is when David and Gabe abandon you to die. you could choose to go after them. And basically, whoever you choose, Clem would go after the opposite one and she'll try to help them. In my case, I chose to go with Kate because I want nothing to do with David and Gabe anymore. And Clem went after them. And that kind of goes in this whole, you know, basically it's the whole action sequence.
Yeah.
Where you got to save Richmond. Jesus comes back. It's like, ah, oh, good to see you.
Looking cool.
Looking really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's part of the comics now recently, like the whole medieval kind of style or something. I guess maybe that is, you know, which I thought was I liked his look. But I was going to say this for the ending. Kind of for my final thoughts, but I'll say it here. I really think at this point, like, fighting zombies is kind of boring. It kind of feels like a distraction at this point. Because
it's felt like this whole season.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's like anytime there was like a sequence where I would have to do the whole quick time events or anything like that, and it just, I was like, okay, let's just get to the next scene. Again, for myself, I just kind of wanted to end this episode, just want to get there finally. But then it's like, it's not in previous seasons, whereas even like episode 1, in season 1, end of episode 5, when you're playing as Lee and you have that epic moment where you're going for Clementine and you're just fighting off these waves of zombies. It's like, I felt so empowered and so powerful at that moment because you had the narrative drive at that point, but also a really cool animated action sequence. Whereas here it's fine. It's you know, it's okay. Again, Jesus coming back, which I thought was a big surprise. I really appreciated that. But overall, I just kind of felt like, okay, let's just get to the inevitable conclusion when Clementine comes back and to tell us what happened to, you know, those two characters. But yeah, I chose to go with Kate because at that point I'm like, I am not going after David and Gabe based on all my interactions with them throughout this entire season. Nick, what did you choose to do?
I actually, so I've been praising this game quite a lot, especially this episode. Yeah. Here's the point where I'm gonna have to change my tune just slightly. my Clementine, obviously the Clementine, based on your relationship with Clementine, if it's not good, she will basically like, I'm going to go after Gabe no matter what, and I don't care what you do. But mine, of course, since we're buddies, she's like, hey, whoever you don't go with, I'll go with. Like, if you don't go with Kate, I'll make sure that she's all right. If you want to go with Kate, I'll go after Gabe and make sure he's all right. And I really like that moment where Clemens like, hey, no matter what you pick, I got your back, okay? I got you covered. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's why me and Clem, bros for life. And so I picked to go with Kate because I thought, oh,
here we go. We're going to have a final face-off with Joan. And then I thought, like, I was going to, eyes were bigger than my stomach, because I'm like, and then we'll have a segment where we get to play as Clementine and get to go after Gabe, her boyfriend, and take out, and have her final confrontation with David. Because I thought, we just had our emotional climax with David. So I'm like, okay, we'll give Clementine the chance then. And then neither of those two things happened. And I was like, wow, that was underwhelming.
Oh, man.
So I immediately went back and played it again and played the going after David segment, which plays out a lot better because you get to save basically everybody and David, at least for my playthrough, because I think that also depends on your relationship as well. David finally has his final character development where he's like, I can't stay here anymore. I've broken everything. And then Gabe has the best moment he's ever had in this, where I finally rescued him. And he says to me, like, why did you come after me? I wouldn't have come after me. I've been nothing but like a hindrance to you. And like, I've been a bad son. And he's like, and he's not referencing David. He's meaning you. He's been a bad son to you. And I love that you can tell him, like, hey, that's not for you to decide. That's up to me, and I think you've done all right with what you got. And I'm like, man, that was really nice. This episode has been a hard fight to make you like Gabe's relationship with Javi, and I thought they actually managed to do it. They snuck it out, like it was barely there. They got it just a nose over the finish line, but I actually did end up really liking Gabe's final resolution of just like, you know what, you aren't my father, but you were a pretty good dad. And that was another moment where I'm like, you're not going to make me cry, Walking Dead. Not since season one. I'm not going to get another tear going, all right? So I know I technically cheated by picking both, but that first one is really underwhelming, and I don't like it very much.
Wait, I have a quick question. So you were saying that initially that... you could come... Clem would go with you? But...
No. Clem would go. Clem goes with Kate if your relationship with Clem is good enough. She'll go, sometimes. It depends, because I watched a couple different endings as well. Is that Clem, depending on her relationship with you and David, she'll go like, okay, whatever you decide, I'll cover Kate if you don't cover Kate. If you want to cover, go with her. I'll go after Gabe. But sometimes she goes after Gabe no matter what, even if you leave Kate there. So it's a little more complicated. There's actually a couple different endings you can kind of get. It's actually a little more complex than you might at first think.
Yeah, I had looked at all of those, and so that's why I was confused. I guess your Clem was loyal to Gabe.
No, my Clem was loyal to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that is an interesting point, actually, Nick, where I went back and I kind of looked at all the different endings. It gets really complex, and that's why I was kind of speaking on where I could start to see that. And maybe I'm a little painted after I went and read some of the other ones. Where I was like, that would have been awful. Because that first one that you got literally fucks up everything I worked towards. Yeah. If I had gotten something like that. If I had chosen to go with Kate. But I don't think I've revealed yet what I did. So we're going to go to Justin first. Justin?
Well, yeah, I actually decided to throw caution to the wind and go with Kate as well. Where I'm just like, you know, yeah, that is kind of an immediate threat. And I kind of... assume there'd be more plot resolution too than there actually was, especially just after watching all the endings, which, by the way, I don't know if any of you caught the fake ending kind of thing where if you get killed,
I did.
Yeah, if you get killed by a zombie during saving Javi and David, you just die and the game finishes. You're like, oh, okay, that was kind of cool. But yeah, no, I went with the Kate ending, trying to help her kind of thing, and it was weirdly underwhelming, where it's just like, oh yeah, by the way, I saved Gabe and David died off camera kind of thing. It felt like it had almost no resolution to that sense. Even when you have the big dramatic scene, you go back to bury his dog tags and that kind of stuff, and it's just like, you know, actually, I prefer the ending where you actually go and meet David and you actually get to have, from apparently the two options, either you have a genuine conversation where it's like, yeah, you know, you decide, is this your legacy, stay with us, go away, whatever kind of thing. Or there's the ending where he gets bitten in the neck and you have to put him down as well. And either one of those, having watched those endings, I felt those were superior endings thematically because it tied up the whole point of the story. I felt like the execution in those were better than the others. And actually, I don't know which one you picked, John, but the one that actually made me kind of stir up and cry when I watched all the endings was the bit with Gabe if he dies, which was an interesting option. But I guess you can get a little bit of a set. What'd you pick, John?
Yeah, so my Clem was loyal to me no matter what, and I obviously went to go get Gabe and David. Mm-hmm. Kate could do whatever she wants at that point for me. So, yeah, I ended up being able to save them both. I thought it was a cool moment to speak to what you said, Chris. I get to have a moment where I'm just like, it feels like Javi's back in his baseball mode, and he gets left, right. It's kind of tedious, but in a sense, it feels therapeutic, where it's just swipe the analog stick to the left, to the right, and you're just knocking people out trying to get to Gabe while Clem is trying to get to David.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I have Clem on my side, I get to save both of them. Ultimately, I have that same similar moment that Nick had mentioned where, you know, Gabe kind of apologizes finally. And David realizes it's that moment where David's like, you know, I can't stay because I'm going to get all of you hurt. Mm-hmm. And he finally comes to that resolution where it's like, I am a problem and I realize I cannot fix it. And in order to save you guys, I must leave. And he does that. And I don't know. I still fight for him to stay, and I'm still obligated to what I said to my dad, and I understand what David is doing. So I feel personally okay to let him go, but I still have to let him know I still want him around. So I thought that was a good moment as well. But where I started to get ticked off was the whole thing. I had read some of the other things, and because I was like, I don't know what to do. Because I will agree that Kate was starting, like, when she stood up to David, I was invigorated. Like, I was happy for Kate to have made that choice. Aside from trying to get with me, like, you stood up and you're making your own decisions and you're trying to make things right. I respect that. And I wanted to help her. I really did. And I almost hit that. And had I hit go to Richmond, David would have died off screen.
Yes, he would have.
Gabe would have come back bitten. Or I would have gone back to find them. Gabe would have been bitten. So, like, my resolution with my brother would have been just – that would have been it. He would have
–
and I would have hated that. Mm-hmm. And to watch Gabe have – just to watch him die and, like, to choose to hand him a gun or whatever. And Clem, I think, would – kisses him or hugs him or just tells him to be strong depending on how, you know, how you've played your Clem. I would have hated that. Like, it would have ruined it for me. And I guess that shows how – maybe that's the whole point, is Telltale sometimes has these moments where you have to make a choice and you cannot turn back from that. And so, like, I guess that would have worked in that extent, but still, like, I guess it was that moment of me being angry at the game. Theoretically, had I chosen the wrong thing, that, like, life would have fucked me over.
What you may think is the wrong thing.
Yeah. What
it's
I
all
may
a matter of opinion.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But yeah, That's what I ultimately chose, and I think it worked out the best for me, except for I get back to Richmond, and Kate is a zombie.
Yeah.
Which felt right, but I also hated the fact that I couldn't see it happen, I guess. Uh-huh. It felt like I did miss something, and again, it goes back to that idea that you have to live with the choices that you make in life, and sometimes you just have to give stuff up, and it maybe that's the whole point, is like, the game would know that I want to see these moments. And to take them away from me, I think, kind of hurts more. Mm. Is that, no, you don't get to have a final moment. You made your choice, and you must live with it. And so, like, I don't know. The only thing, another thing that bothered me is that, so those are my choices. Those choices are exactly spoiled by the cover art for this episode.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And it upset me a lot.
Yeah, so I saw, I'm like, are you kidding me when I saw that cover art? But then they made the excuse of saying, well, that's a possible ending. But even that, yeah, that in itself is a spoiler because it's a possibility.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay. Well,
mine was exactly that.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, like, mine was, yeah, I mean, that's why I had the dissatisfaction with my ending. Again, I was at a point where I just want all this to end and just move on and then finally get to season 4. But, and yeah, when I had that moment where I go to Barry, because when you go back and when, because in my ending, I sent Clementine to save David and Gabe, mm-hmm, whereas I guess in some of your guys' stuff where she just comes with you automatically,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. So I must deal with, like, relationships or whatever. But when I went back there with Kate, because after I saved Richard with Jesus and all that, I'm like, okay, that's settled. Gabe comes back. He's fine. He's just like, oh, Dad died. I'm like, all right, that's fine with me. So I go there and I find his body and we get his dog tags, and, you know, Kate's doing this whole thing about, like, well, You know, he doesn't care about his body itself, like who he is in these dog tags.
Sounds like a cool moment, though.
Yeah, I can kind of get that, although I mess
you
up.
You already don't like them. So.
No, I don't. And then when she has that moment when you're bury the dog tags, because she mentions, like, if you're going to bury something, bury these. I'm like, okay. And so we bury them, and you have an option to say something, and I say nothing.
Ooh.
So that's kind of what my opinion is of Dave. I'm not going to say anything. You're not worth the words. Not worth my mouth moving. And I leave. That's how it ends.
That is some deep-seated hatred there, man.
It is. It's some deep-seated hatred. I'm just like, nope.
Only child right here, folks.
Deserved.
An only child right here.
I'm sorry. If I would ever have a relationship with a brother, I want to be somewhat positive. He's not trying to kill me, talking so horribly behind my back and then going, oh, but I really love you. It's like, okay, sure, dude. He's like Chuck from Better Call Saul. This is a piece of shit. If you watch that series, John, you wouldn't be so loyal to Chuck, would you?
Okay, he's not Chuck. I mean, let's not. I mean, he's bad, but he's not that bad.
He's not as psychologically abusive as Chuck is, but he's up there. He's up there. But yeah, then that kind of goes into this, not really a decision, but I guess it's like a final outcome where, or does this play wrong? That goes into the fight with David, I guess, where. If Clementine left after the fight with David, or if she followed you to that conclusion where, you know, you cut her hair,
yeah.
Which again, one of my favorite moments.
It's a good moment.
Because really it's moment. A direct callback to the first season and to a certain extent season two, where it's Lee's lesson still ingrained in her. It's like, keep your hair short because it's dangerous out there and, you know, they could possibly grab onto you. And I'm just like, I like that moment because it's about Clementine, which is where, again... And I guess I'm just going to kind of go on my final
thoughts. Yeah, go ahead. It's the end of the episode.
Where the moments when this is focused on Clementine are the best because that's the character that I followed through the first two seasons. And yeah, maybe I have a bias because I'm suddenly thrust into this other story.
Maybe.
I'm thrust into this other story where Clementine really isn't the focus. Occasionally she is, but it never feels like it's... To me, it's not where it needs to be in her journey. It feels like a weird stopgap in where Telltale wanted to tell this story, this spinoff. And maybe had it been a spinoff, maybe had it not even focused on Clementine. Because would this season had even needed her? Or maybe she'd just been like, I don't know. It feels weird where if you wanted to tell the story about a dysfunctional family set in the zombie apocalypse, that could have been interesting. But it's just weird where you're kind of mixing it with Clementine. And then again, with the inconsistent writing, it just comes out to being... just kind of meh to me, and I hate using that word, but just mediocre in general. Again, I appreciated the fact that this episode was technically better than it had previously been in the later episodes. That was good. Again, nothing ran poorly or anything like that. But again, it comes down to the writing where I just thought it was a big miss, and I'm hopeful that Telltale takes that in regard. And again, it's like even I just think about like the ending where it's like Clementine will return. Just like, well, then does any of this matter?
Yes,
I guess so. I mean, we'll see. Maybe they'll have some wink and nods to the what happened in season three. Maybe like, oh, I met this one guy. He told me about, you know, brothers and sister, because I'm sure she'll encounter a dysfunctional brother and sister, or brother and brother, or whatever. I don't know. But for me, it just felt like a distraction, and there was just I didn't get that sense that they had a thorough plan going in this. A lot of the episodes almost felt reactionary to me, where it's just like, oh, people don't like, or David, people really dislike David. We're going to make him the villain. We're going to make him where anytime there's a sense of conflict, he's always going to be a sense of conflict. Oh, people don't like Gabe. Well, we're going to try to make Gabe more likable as the season continues. Or it just feels weird and awkward to me. So yeah, in this episode, I'd probably give, a 7 out of 10 dysfunctional family relationships. Season overall, I probably give 6 out of 10. Hopefully, better seasons of The Walking Dead in the future. Nick, what about yourself? What was your kind of overall impressions of this episode, or you know, your general, you know, your final thoughts, and what would you like to see in season four?
Well, I gotta say that to counter one of your points, I thought Clem was a vital part of this season. It's important we have a character that's established as a badass, a loyal friend, and a person that we like. That way, when she, you know, gains the loyalty or is loyal, you know, has the moment of loyalty with Javi, it means more, where we're like, Javi's earned the loyalty of this character that I really like. So it kind of, it makes his decisions more meaningful in a way. And I do gotta say that I really enjoyed this episode. I think that it's not... There's like a 10 out of 10 episode in here, but it depends on what ending you have and what kind of character you've been playing the whole time. So it's not... it's kind of hard to rate, because if I had gone off my initial one and not played again to get the next ending, I would have been lower, because I'm like, oh, that ending isn't very satisfying. But the opposite ending, I'm like, oh, wait, that's very good. I actually like that a lot. I like the character moments in this season a lot. I feel like it was to Telltale's advantage for their episodic content to go like, okay, what's not working with this relationship? Maybe we can fix it here. And I think with some relationships, like with David, I think they always knew where they were going with David. I think this was always the conflict we were going with. And I think I even like smaller moments, like with Eleanor, even though she's basically forgotten after the first 5 minutes of this episode. She gets a moment where, like, hey, Trip's dead because of you, and you can tell her off and go, fuck you, that's on you, bitch. And she can, and then you get a nice opportunity to forgive her, like, okay, yeah. And even then, it's a great line, which is like, okay, Eleanor may have forgotten that she's one of us, but I haven't. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. That's I really like that. And for a small moment like that, I really dug it. This season overall has had its problems. I mean, the whole Trip and Ava thing, I keep coming back to like one of those, like those types of decision where I'm like, I don't like those. Less of those in season four. Have the choices have a little bit more meaning rather than a gimmicky kind of feel to them. Especially if they're just going to die in the next episode, like, and have it be really meaningless. Death by plot zombie. I got to admit, though, that I haven't had a feeling like when the marker that comes up after you tell David you love him for like the fourth time, that marker that comes up that says you kept your promise to your dad. I got a jolt in the feels that I haven't had since season one of The Walking Dead. Like, no moment in season two ever gave me that, like, ooh, right in there. I was like, oh man, that feels right. And this one, it did that a couple times. I mean, closer to the end where they had to earn it a little bit, but, and then of course there's other characters. Like, I don't think I haven't seen much of Kate. If you're not romancing her, I get the feeling that she's not a very compelling character if you're not romancing her. Mm-hmm. But if you are romancing her, I thought she was really good, and a really good portrayal of someone who's trying to get over this abusive relationship that she thought was over, and now she has to face ghosts from her past. And it's hard because I feel like it's very contextual, and I feel like I can only rate my very specific experience with it, which was very positive. So I guess I give this episode an 8 out of 10. Maybe like an 8.5. And I give the overall season an 8. I really enjoyed it, despite a couple of shortcomings that I think they can rectify in the next season if they play their cards right. So yeah, 8. Really awkward plot zombies that jump out of cars out of 10.
And what do you want to see in season 4? Just like whether it be like a particular character or plot, or I mean, what would you like to kind of see in a season if they do it? Obviously they're going to do it, but you know.
I feel like we're going to get another Clem story. Like, we're going to focus on her again. I feel like I think Telltale's going to get a lot of the complaints of like, why did we play as these guys when we wanted to play as Clem? And I think they're going to do that. I personally wouldn't mind getting another standalone with this, with Clem in the tertiary, in the background. She's actually a really nice supporting character. She even in some moments, she's even better than she would have been as the main character, I think, if they would have tried to have her make some of the similar decisions with this, because she doesn't have that concept of family that I feel like Javi and David really bring. So actually, I would not mind if we get a whole new group of people that Clem has to deal with, you know, going and trying to find, AJ. Like, I want to see what, oh, who's raising him now. Maybe she has to come to the realization that she has to leave him there because they actually are good people and they are taking care of him, and she's on a dangerous path, on a dangerous road, because she ended up like a liberated warrior for me, and she gets kind of like this badass clip Avengers stinger at the end where she's just wasting zombies, where I'm like, yeah, so... I'm ready for either or. I'm really positive on this, so I'm ready for whatever Telltale thinks that is that would make the best story. I'm pretty much open to anything.
Justin, what about yourself?
Yeah, you know, I overall dug this episode. I mean, I felt like it didn't finish as strong as it started because, as you mentioned, there's some kind of unsatisfying ending choices that are being made for us with the narrative and such, but. I felt more positive the way this ended than season two, where I felt just kind of cold with that ending, where I'm just like, yeah, okay, I guess I either hang out with this psycho murderer or this other distrustful woman I can't, you know, can't turn my back on for 2 seconds. And it felt like they actually tried to get some resolution here that, you know, if not always tidy, it was at least emotionally satisfying and offered some closure, in my opinion. It did make me laugh, though, when doing that haircut scene. It was a sweet scene until I saw the haircut, and I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, he gave her Korra's hair from Mass Effect Andromeda. That's the part that scared me the most when I saw that. But other than that, I mean, it was a fine ending. I think the season as a whole... Looking at it, it was, again, it was that thing where it was emotionally resonant, it had a stronger connection for character for me, but it wasn't as tightly plotted as that first season. And I feel like we're just never going to get that season that's as tight as season one. You know, that was lightning in the bottle for Telltale. And even that had a couple shortcomings with a few of its, you know, Telltale-isms. But on the whole, I felt like I enjoyed this experience more than I did with season two, where I just felt it hit more highs than it did low. So I think on the whole, I will give this, okay, for the episode, I will give it 8 out of 10 scenes of Javi cussing out a helicopter, because that was funny. You know, F you helicopter kind of thing. And then on the whole, I think I'm going to lean more towards 7.5 for the season, where it was kind of the same issue I felt with Batman, where I felt like I liked it overall, yeah. I enjoyed it, but those moments that wowed me weren't the most wowy moments, and it just kind of... It feels like this would just be somewhere in the middle, like maybe the higher middle of Telltale's library, but not their best season of Walking Dead, not one of their best seasons overall, kind of thing.
Okay. And what would you like to see in season four?
You know, I'm kind of just open to whatever they decide to do, because yeah, obviously, she gets that Avengers little clip, just like Clementine will return in Avengers Zombie Wars, but I kind of agree with Nick. I just want to see more separate stories. Like, I feel like. That it's the problem I have with most fan bases for anything, where people have that conflict of like, well, you should have more Clem, or then the people are like, no, you should have less Clem, and it just feels like we're never going to satisfy any group of fan bases here. But on the whole, I'd rather them try new stuff. Like, it's always better to just do new things with new characters than having to stick with the stuff that we expect to see, because you know, you never know when you'll strike lightning in a bottle again.
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, my whole thing would be. If they want to end Clementine's story and start their whole new thing, then I'd be totally fine with that. Whereas, again, having played season two, there was a definitive cliffhanger in like what happens next with her story. And that's why I feel the way I do of season three, where it's like you had an opportunity to end that story with this season. You could have done that where it could have focused on Clementine. And then you could have done this whole new thing. You know, want to continue the Walking Dead franchise, where it's not about Clementine, it's about all these different stories. You're going to have multiple seasons focusing on all different types of characters. I would have been totally fine with it. It's just that, based on my experience of season two, that's kind of what I wanted to see the story continue on. But I get what you're saying, Justin. I totally understand. And if they want to pursue it in the future, but then have it where you end these stories definitively and then move on, I'd be totally fine with that. John, I saved you for last, obviously, because, you know, it's cool.
So... I think this season ultimately works on two different fronts. The first front with this relationship between this dysfunctional family, I loved it. Like ultimately this episode, I think, is a bit weaker than episode four. And I think it's because of the Telltale formula and the way they do games now. I do love the moment where Clementine's cutting her hair. And again, the moment where, because my Gabe was still alive, Javi kind of like hints at her. He's like, Gabe has a crush on you. No, he doesn't. Like, exactly how a teenager her age would do it, where it's like you're embarrassed because he's like, a boy likes me, but like, no, he does. Like, and he's like, wait, you do too? No, I don't. And it's just like such a, it's such a small but beautiful moment about this girl who is not done growing up. She has seen murder and death and violence, but there's so many things about the world that she doesn't understand, and she needs people to guide her in those moments. And, you know, I was upset about the fact that Jones just like there and then not there. It doesn't make any sense. My David, he shows up back in Richmond, but I have a conversation with Gay where it's like, David won't talk to either one of us. And so it's kind of weird where it's like, well, then like, I understand that David is now safe, but like, he's around his family, but won't interact with him. I rather would have had him just go off into the distance and like not have come back. Cause again, I told him in my moment where it's like, come back to us. And he just walks off. It would have made more sense for me for David to just have stayed off, or for him to come back, but me not really know it, or it had been acknowledged. Huh. Because it seems sort of weird that he's back around his family, but no mention
that
of it.
That is weird. Yeah.
Again, I did get that stinger with Clementine where she's being badass and Avengers-like and everything. Nick had hinted that about his Clementine. Well, mine ultimately was a reformed loner. And this goes to my other point. Chris, I know you were complaining about, like, I wish I could have been Clem. I wish this was more about Clem. The second, the arc of this whole season ultimately is, like, Clem. It, all of this is about Clem and who she's going to be. It's season one again, in a sense, where it's, we're watching this girl grow up. And I know the people who have played season two, a lot of the complaints is, why is anyone listening to a child? Why do we want to – so like, why are we asking to play Clem again when she's not done growing up? She is Gabe's age. And you would have complained had we been someone else Gabe's age, because they are not ready to lead a squadron of people. They are not ready to lead a group. Yeah, they can be on their own, and I think that exemplifies why my Clem is a reformed loner. She's fine on her own. But her ultimate journey, she's trying to be a mom now. She wants to be this parental guidance to AJ. And so this whole season is about her learning that, you know, family is hard. Family will push you away. And ultimately, AJ, if she ever meets AJ again, he could want to be where he is and not want any part to do with her, mm-hmm. and not appreciate what she did for him. And that's something, if that does come to fruition, she will have learned a bit to deal with after watching Javi and David. And like, this is a story of loyalty. And loyalty to your family, whether that is your blood family or the family you stumble upon. And so this idea that Clem is going to come back, I think I could do with another season of her not being the center character. Because, again, like, those moments where she's like, why am I bleeding? Or, no, he doesn't. Like, those are such teenager moments where she can navigate a battlefield but cannot navigate people. And I think she still has a lot to learn. And yeah, if there's another story or season, stop calling them seasons, first off. What I would like to see in season four is, I don't think this episode thing really works anymore. I don't think it makes sense. I wish Telltale would just commit to the kind of story they want to tell. And yeah, offer some branching options and like, let's color the book how we want to, but have all the pages already there and stop like putting new things, new pictures to color in as we go along, because you start like, oh, he chose red. Well, let's put a picture in that looks good with red. No, just put your thing in and let us color. Because ultimately, there's this weird thing. I have a moment with Clem where it's like, bring AJ back, or no, leave him be. Where it's kind of like, well, what does that mean? If she does find AJ, would a theoretical new season be completely different? Like, what happens there? And like, where do you go after that? So I do see, like, Clem's story could actually be done. I still think it takes two seasons where she's still got to learn something else. She's still got to learn one more lesson, I think. And then she's ready to find AJ and be an adult, because she's not an adult yet. We can pretend that she is. And again, it's that whole idea of Americans in general, like, sees violence differently than they do sex or something. Sure. And that's a lot of, like, again, back to the whole period moment where it's, we view violence and sex completely differently. And that's an element that this young woman will have to go through. And so, like, I don't know. I think it would benefit more if Telltale chose where they wanted to go and just gave us a full game and
put it out there and let us color how we want to. But ultimately, it says one statement. Mm-hmm. Other than this, my statement ultimately ended up being very good about loyalty and stuff. But I think it gets clouded as they have like six different endings with multiple different deaths. And it just kind of gets stumbles in that sense. Ultimately, sorry, I rambled on there, but I think this final episode for me is 8 out of 10 thriller jackets, a la Clementine at the end. She looked
that's a great jacket.
She looked really cool at the end. Did. I was like, when she said bye to Gay, I was like, yeah, Gay, beat your heart out. And she's like walking off, looking all cool. Yeah. I did ultimately think this episode was a bit weaker than some of the others. But it did have those peaks. It really did have two big emotional beats where it understood how I was playing my hobby. In the season overall, I have to give a 9 out of 10 sexy haircuts. You can't say that about Child. Great looking haircuts.
No, you cannot say that. I'm tempted to just end it there. But
no,
can't.
You cannot.
Because we gotta do some plugs. And so, Nick, how can people follow you?
Oh, you can follow us at any of the social media pages. We're up on Facebook at Unapologetic Geek Out. You can follow us on Twitter at UGO Podcast. Instagram's the same thing. You can follow our con pictures and con episodes there. You can follow us on YouTube. We're up on YouTube now with Let's Plays of funny video games and stuff like that. And, of course, you can just type in UGO Podcast into Google, and we're like the first thing that pops up now. Fuck you, Ugo, and your stupid podcast that was that was the number one way before us. Like, it's taken a year, but I've finally taken care of that son of a bitch. Yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah,
so thank you for congratulating me on my vengeance. and you can find me and Justin both on our episodes of Netflix and Kill. The first episode, which is Wormwood Road of the Dead, is up. And by the time this is up, probably our second episode, which is Abattoir, the French film, or the French... Well, it's a French name for slaughterhouse, I think. But very fun time. Me and Justin and my co-host Travis have a great chemistry, so I would recommend you check it out. If not, nice. Toot my own horn. Justin, nice. Toot my horn for me.
Well, I'll toot my horn and your horn, I guess, in this case. But that just sounds wrong. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook, Justin Zarian and at JJZGamer. You can find me on oneofus.net. I write the notes for the Breakfast Pub, and it's definitely one. I think it's just one of the best podcasts on all of oneofus.net. So please subscribe and enjoy the great content from it. Because, yeah, Chris, you guys do great on that stuff. I just got to say. No, but otherwise, yeah, you can see me on UGO with Nick and Travis here. We talked about Wormwood and Abattoir. And once again, I just called him Travis. Nick, once again, I'm sorry for Abattoir. I am very, very sorry. You'll find out what that means when you hear the audio, people.
You should be.
And, of course, you can follow We Are Error at We Are Error Cast. We're on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud. We're on oneofus.net. We're oneofus.net's premier video game podcast where we do all sorts of reviews and what the hell do we do? Main topics and stuff like that and video game news and nonsense and all that good stuff. And, John, anything to add?
I'm _JohnRomoNoH on Twitter. You can see me talking about video game music, this podcast, Kendrick Lamar, wrestling occasionally. Yeah. Yeah, I think the last tweet I tweeted about wrestling, which connected with gaming because Xavier Woods, a wrestler, really loves video games, did a Mortal Kombat post in his little poster.
That's awesome.
But yeah. Check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud and all that jazz.
And obviously get John's opinion on sexy little girl haircuts, too. Jeez.
You have a crush on him too.
I do not.